Growing up was tough for Sault Ste. Marie's Dave Brodick. As someone with a genetic condition of albinism, people often notice him for his white skin and hair. This week, his story was posted on a United Nations website aimed at raising awareness about albinism. Brodick teaches in the Department of Psychology at Algoma University, and I've reached him at home to hear more about his story. Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for taking our call today, Dave.
Not a problem.
Can you explain to me a bit about albinism? What causes it?
It's a genetic disorder. There's a whole series of them. There's like a bunch of different kinds. The one I have is called ocular cutaneous albinism, or OCA1. And I don't have, long story short, it's not really this simple, but I can't make pigment. So I don't have the gene that makes melanin.
I see.
Okay, so I don't have, so my hair is, you said white, it's actually, if you look under a microscope, it's clear, which is kind of cool in a way.
Oh.
My skin is white, and my eyes are very, almost a steely blue, let's go with that. And the other thing that, so I sunburn very easily, but also the other issue is that melanin guides the growth of the visual system. So I'm legally blind with my glasses on. So when people say, oh yeah, me too, I'm legally blind, and then they put their glasses on, they drive a car,
yeah,
I put my glasses on, things just look a little bit bigger.
Okay. So, I don't mean to ask this question, perhaps.
Yeah, you can ask anything you want.
Are most people with albinism, do they have some sort of visual impairment?
Heck yeah. Yeah. You might see something as decent, vision as decent as 20/70, but mine's more common is somewhere around 2200, 2400. So I have 10% of normal visual acuity with my glasses on. I see in standard definition, if you see in high definition.
I see. Okay. What was it like growing up in the Sioux with this?
Well, I was dealing in the Sioux. I grew up part of my time in Sudbury, actually, and also in London for the most part. You get bullied a lot. Things are a lot better, I think, with kids, the special needs kids now than they were when I was a kid. But, you know, you get made fun of. Every kid gets made fun of, but you get made fun of more often when you stand out. And I stand out. So there was that. I mean, there's things you can't do. I will say that my parents never let me use it as an excuse. So, I mean, I played hockey for Kipling Playground in Sudbury.
Good for you.
I played football in high school in London. I was awesome. I like to think that. I really wasn't. There were times it was very hard, very lonely, because there's no one to talk to. This is 1 in 17,000 live births, so it's not like you can go to your mom and say, what was it like when you had albinism?
Right.
My mom and my dad didn't. They just carried bad copies of the gene. Right? Well, so and my kids are carriers as well.
I see.
Obviously, because they have to be. So,
Did you feel lonely?
There was nobody to talk to.
Yeah, did you feel lonely at times because of that? Or
heck yeah. As much as I have an amazingly supportive family, my late father and my mom were amazing, and my brother and sister. I should also just say that, you know, they couldn't understand. There was no common frame of reference. There was nobody to talk to. I think there was one guy that came and talked to me at one point. That might have been in London. But, you know, like in a city the size of Sudbury, there's going to be, doing some quick math in my head, like six of us, of my people. And there's going to be like three of us in the Sioux. And I've not met the other two here. chances are, so I'm the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing, yeah, it was lonely and it was tough. And, you know, schools weren't nearly as, I hate to use the word proactive, but I'm going to.
That's okay.
Proactive about bullying as they are today. So stuff would happen, and a lot of times it'd be, oh, boys will be boys, oh, don't worry, learn how to tough it out, grow
stiff
up.
Stiff upper lip and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of crap. So I ended up growing up very quickly. By the time I was eight,
you knew life could be tough and is tough and was going to be.
I shouldn't overstate that. I mean, I've led in some respects a very charmed life. I've got an amazing family. I've got a very good job. I'm an associate professor of psychology at Algoma University. Go Thunderbirds! And I've done very pretty well in my life, and I've met a great woman who I'm married to, and I got these two great kids, and I got this great family. But I couldn't have done it without all that great support.
How did your story end up getting involved with this campaign for the United Nations?
Well, Kofi Annan called me. I'm kidding, of course.
Okay.
What happened was this website came up over my Facebook feed. I belong to a couple of albinism groups on Facebook.
Yep.
And this was about maybe in March, might have been February, and they said, submit your story. And there were all these really famous people. I mean, people that are really well known. There's a woman who's a high court judge in Kenya.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm just some psychology professor in St. Marie. So I just typed in my little story and sent it off. And I guess it was Saturday or when? Friday. I got an email from someone from Geneva, which just rarely happens to me, from the UN, saying, you know, we want to use your story. Can we use it? And we were getting all excited because my daughter was graduating from university that day. And she won the gold medal, the Governor General Silver Medal. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And it was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then next thing you know, the next day, I guess Saturday or Sunday, it's up on the internet. And it was pretty cool.
Cool. Well, what do you hope people take away from the campaign?
I think the most important thing that people can get is that if let's say that, well, there's a couple things, I guess. The first thing is that if you are, let's say your kid's got albinism, and you know it pretty quickly, because when the baby comes out and he's got white hair and really pale skin and such, you go, well, what's going on here? So a lot of people wonder, you know, and they don't have anybody to talk to. And I see this a lot in these Facebook groups, and they say things like, well, what'll I do? What can my kid accomplish? Anything but be a Formula One race car driver or an NHL hockey player. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to do that. Or, you know, a professional sunbather, if that's a job. Also, for people that do have albinism, there is... The only thing that limits you is your own abilities and the support you get. So if you get good support from your family and... You can do almost anything. I mean, I would never be it'd be a bad idea for me to do, like, brain surgery. Though I've
with the lack of vision.
On a rat once. it's cool. But, you know, that kind of thing. So I think if people can get that away from it, and that, you know, even in North America, it's much tougher for people in Africa. But for those of us in North America, even, we're just people. And we don't have magic powers.
Thanks for the reminder, and thanks for sharing your story with us, Dave. I think it's great that you're putting yourself out there, and I hope it pays back.
Not a problem. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, man.
That's Sault Ste. Marie's David Brodeck, teaches in the Department of Psychology at Algoma University.